Good morning, church. A great joy to be with you once again, especially in this first service of 2018. And we thank God indeed to be alive even today. Just to remind you, our church is not an English church, but as we also continue to mention, we have people from every part of the continent of Africa. So English seems to be the language that we can communicate with, although we are not that good in it as well. Baba Ras has just mentioned that hopefully we have come and entered this year with a little bit of strength, and we are encouraged to be coming to this year as well to work for the Lord. But to add on that, I just want to remind you something of great importance. Although we may come and enter the year with strength and all that we pray to have from the Lord, but we also enter this year with sin, which is why I would like us to turn together then to John chapter number 1. John is going to remind us of the Lord Jesus Christ and why He is important to us. John chapter number 1, and we will read just one verse. In church, I pray and I promise myself that this message may be short and not like less than 40 minutes, but short and also simple. John chapter number 1, verse 29. It reads as following, and the title of the message, Of First Importance. Of First Importance. It reads as following. John chapter number 1. That's the gospel. You can listen, you have not found it. The next day, that is John, saw Jesus coming towards him, and he said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The most important thing, church, in life is to have focus, to know where you're going, and to know what is it that you actually need in this life, to be committed unto that which you behold in your heart to be something of great importance, to dedicate your whole being to the same thing that you behold in your life. Unless then, if you do not behold that kind of a thing that is so important in you, as you start whatever you are starting, then you are bound to miss the mark. In other words, you won't make it. You won't fulfill what you want to fulfill. So as the year begins, church, the question is, what is it that is of great importance? Regardless our plans and regardless our personal purposes for this year, what is it that should stand at the center of our minds and heart? Paul, writing to the church of Corinthians, he says to them, let me read for you, For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. What was that? That Christ died for our sins in accordance to the scriptures. So according to Paul, Jesus and his death is of first importance. Hence John then says, Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So church, this morning I want to bring before us 3 points of great importance about Jesus as we begin this year. Simple points that we can see clearly from this verse we have read. 3 points which should prove that Jesus is of first importance. Firstly, John tells us we must behold Jesus. That is what he says. We must behold him. That is something we need to do. The question is, what does it mean for us to behold Jesus? We are told here that when John saw Jesus coming towards him, he spoke this word. Actually, there's a sense in which he pointed unto him and says, like he was shocked, behold, or look It's Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God as he come near to John. But also, I want you to just see one small point of importance here. Jesus is drawing near John. John is not drawing to Jesus. Please take note. Jesus is coming towards John. What a blessing it is for Jesus himself to come towards a sinful man like you and I, drawing closer to this man born in sin from his mother's womb. Then Jesus, as he drew near, the Bible tells us that John was moved. John was moved and he pointed unto Jesus. But I want to tell you, church, he was moved with humility. He humbled himself and he pointed unto Jesus. He was so amazed and he was thrilled at this scene. Why would this Son of God, this great one of heaven, draw near to me? Therefore, John, as an important man, though he may not look important, he didn't look important to other people, but an important man such as John, the man who is the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, a man appointed by God to point to Jesus, John forgot himself. He put his own personal ideas and his own personal ministry aside, and he pointed to Jesus. John forgot himself. But one thing John did not forget. If you forget yourself, do not forget one thing. John did not forget to point to Jesus and say, "Behold, take heed, pay careful attention to the one who is coming and drawing to us." Remember, John, friends, was now a popular preacher. People had come from all over Judea. From all over the region, people had come to listen to John. People had come to listen to his preaching. People had come to hear, what is it that God wants me to do? How can I do the will of God? How can I get rid of my sin, if you will? How can God forgive me? Or how can I enter into the kingdom of heaven? They come to John to listen to these things. Yet John, when he saw Jesus, he didn't point unto himself. John points to the one and says, "Behold the Lamb of God." This popular preacher forgets himself and points to the one in which we all should point to. He says to the people, "I know we have come to hear me." Sometimes people come to hear others. "I know you have come to hear me. I know you have come to see me." That is okay. But there is one I want to point you unto. There is one who is coming. There is one who's drawing near to us, who's drawing near to me. I want you to behold him. He's the one in whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. And here he comes to us, towards us, as the scripture has promised. Now you turn your focus unto him. That is the word behold. Now you look unto him. That word means pay careful attention. See, look unto him. Dedicate your focus, your whole being unto this one. That is the message of John. That is the message to us as we begin this year. It's about focusing our attention, our whole attention to the Lamb of God. It's about focusing our all attention, our interests. It's about us admiring this Lord Jesus Christ, worshipping this Lord Jesus Christ, turning our whole being, our whole inner faculties, looking upon Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God. Dedicate yourself unto Jesus. And the Bible tells us that John actually knew Jesus. Although John says, "I did not know him," he knew Jesus in person. It was not, I don't think it was the first time he saw Jesus, because even the Bible tells us that when Mary and Elizabeth, they were pregnant, the children actually connected. But John is saying, when he says, "I did not know him," he didn't know him as the sin bearer. He didn't know him as the healer of all diseases. He didn't know him as the one who takes away the sin of the world. But now, as he comes, but now, the Spirit of God drives him. Now the Spirit of God turns his focus. It is possible, church, to know Jesus just as a man.
It is possible, church, to know Jesus because you hear about Jesus. It is until you behold this Jesus. It is until the Spirit of God opens your eyes and says, this is the one in whom I have said. If you see the Spirit, lean upon him. He is the Son of God. It is possible to know Jesus. Some people know Jesus as a healer. Some people know Jesus as a provider. Some people know Jesus as a protector, which is good. But do I know him as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world? Because the people there, they knew Jesus. They just knew a guy works with his father, a carpenter, someone from Nazareth. Is there anything good that come from Nazareth? But John says, it is about time we know exactly who this Jesus is. It is about time we come to him with our broken lives and come to him and behold him and hold unto him, even with our own broken lives. It's about time we behold him and ask God to embrace us with his grace through Jesus Christ. John says, we behold. In other words, you allow the eyes of your heart to be enlightened. You allow the eyes of your heart to focus unto Jesus. That is the message we need to take into our own hearts as the year begins. The first thing, you behold this Jesus. That is why church, in this church, and in the churches that our elder Russ was mentioning earlier on, the churches we pray for, our brothers and sisters out there, we sing about Jesus. You will not hear our song singing, we will not hear us in our song singing about ourselves. Because we behold the one who is greater than ourselves. We sing about this Jesus. We read the Bible about this Jesus. As we read Revelation chapter 5, it's about this Jesus. As we read this John chapter number 1, in the beginning was about this Jesus. We sing, we read, we study, we live for this Jesus. That is how we behold this Jesus today. We pay careful attention to his word, what he says, how he says, his written word, his preached word. We behold this Jesus. Therefore, John's ministry, church, something we should learn, something we should cherish. John's ministry was not about himself, but it was about Jesus. John knew he was not the light. That's what we are told in chapter number 1. He knew he was not the one who will make life, as it were, for people. John was not the light who will shine bright for people. He might have preached well. I can preach well, perhaps. You might serve well, but we are not the light. John says, I know who I am. I am not the light, but among you stands the one who is the light of the world. Somewhere in chapter number 3, verse 30, in the book of John, John says, he must increase, for I must decrease. That is the message. That is the only way you can behold Jesus. That is the only way you can focus unto Jesus. He must increase in your life, and you must decrease. He must increase in everything you do. You must decrease. Behold this Jesus. So John is humble, church. But above all, John is led by the Spirit. So when we are humble, be led by that Spirit too. He points to Jesus. But only the Spirit of God can humble a man so that God can lift him up. Only then you can focus on to Jesus. The Spirit of God opens men's eyes. The Spirit of God had taken away John's sense of own importance. That is what the Spirit of God wants to do in our own lives, to take away our own sense of importance, to move our sense of importance out of the way and put Jesus in the picture. Then we can behold the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the Spirit of God will move everything that is destructive along the way so that all is well in our lives, even this year. Helping us to focus on the ministry, helping us to focus on Jesus Christ, even in our own families. John's message is very simple. Focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Why?
There are so many things that wants to steal your attention. So many things trying to have your undivided attention even this year as it starts. So many things that want to steal your peace. But you focus on Jesus. That is of first importance. Behold Christ. Look unto Jesus. The second thing I want us to look at. Also another very simple point. John says, Jesus is the Lamb of God. That is very important for us to mention once again. It's something that we know. You behold him is of first importance. But again, it is because he is the Lamb of God. That is why he is of first importance. What does that mean to us? Because that is what or who he is. He is the Lamb of God. Barbaras normally takes a break and drink water and nobody complains. So I'll do the same. He is the Lamb of God. In other words, John is telling us here that Jesus is the fulfillment of God's desire for a complete salvation for his people. That's very important. Jesus is God's desire to fulfill a complete salvation for his people. Because his people had failed to come to salvation even when they did all the rituals of the Old Testament. There is nothing that man can do to be in a right place or in a right relationship with God. So John is pointing to the one who actually bring these two people together, this holy God and this sinful man, bringing them together to be a one person. They need a lamb, and Jesus is that Lamb of God. Jesus is God's special chosen sacrifice, which will be better than the sacrifice of the old. Remember, in the Old Testament, we are told that a lamb, they represented a continual process of God cleansing his people from sin. So when the people had sin in their lives, they brought a sacrifice to God so that God may clean them or cleanse them from their sin. So now, when we speak of a lamb, we are reminded of that sacrifice that God required in the Old Testament. But we are also reminded in a way that, which means the Old Testament sacrifice which the people brought actually did not complete their salvation. Now is Jesus Christ coming through or coming in into the people's lives to complete such a salvation. This blameless, a Lamb of God without blemish, now is before the people. When the Israelites were in Egypt, that's when God told them to slaughter a lamb, and then actually they will take the blood and sprinkle the blood on the doorpost of their houses so that the angel of death, when the angel of death will come through to kill the firstborns of Egypt, so that angel of death will pass over. May I repeat that? When the angel of death will come to kill the people of Egypt, when the angel of death could see the blood of the lamb or the doorpost, the angel of death will pass over. If he sees the blood, if there is no blood on the door, then death and destruction was upon that house. In the same way, here is the Lamb of God. John is pointing to the true and final, faithful, blameless Lamb of God, whose precious blood spilled on that cross for you and I, so that when the angel of death comes, he may pass over. In other words, even when we die, but we pass over, we pass on into eternal life, not getting distracted and destroyed by the angel of death. In other words, the wrath of God is no longer upon those whom Christ has died. That is what John is pointing. You must behold this one. He's better than the Old Testament sacrifices. So in this statement of John, we also learn one thing that is of great importance. Perhaps the people did not recognize it at time. I think they did not, but as we look back 2,000 years back now, we realize, wow, John was actually saying Jesus will also going to be sacrificed. Jesus will die because the Lamb of the Old Testament had to die. So when he says the Lamb of God, he's telling the people, this one is going to die. Of course, it's unbelievable. But those who had been reading their Bibles, those who had been following God, they knew that the Lamb of God had to come and die for them. He must be sacrificed, just like the Old Testament lamb, it was slaughtered. Blood must flow through him. Blood and water must flow through him, that he may wash the sins of his people. That he may bring spiritual cleansing to his people. That he may bring peace between God and man. Peace between man and man. That he may bring those who belong to Israel as Jewish people, and those who are non-Jewish, the Gentiles, that he may bring them together through this blood of Christ. That is the message of John. John saying Jesus is the sinner's substitute. He's the one who's going to stand there for the sinners, the one in whom God is going to look upon and decide to punish on behalf of those in whom he stands for. Jesus will die. But we know he did die. John is saying he will die. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So he's pointing that this one is going to go to the cross. I'm saying this because we know he went to the cross. So when he says the Lamb of God, it's not the lamb that is going to be slaughtered on the altar like the Old Testament lamb, but this one is going to go to the cross, because the cross is of great importance. Because it was on that cross when he was lifted up. It was on that cross when our sin was put upon him. When he became sin for us. When he was forsaken by God and man. When he died for us. John says, this is of first importance. Christ will die for people. He is the Lamb of God. He will cover the sins of his people. It is in that cross where he became our high priest. One who now stands before God. The one who now testifies before God for us. The one who also prays for us. Intercede for us, because he is the Lamb of God. But I want to tell you, that Lamb of God that John spoke about did not only end up being a Lamb of God. Church, this is a lion now. This is the lion, no longer a lamb, but a lion. When you read the book of Revelation, you realize that Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the King of Kings. He is the one who came as a lamb to save the people, but is the lion who comes also now to judge the world for their sins. He is the Lamb of God, according to John, one who will be sacrificed, and it only can be that Son of God, the begotten Son of God. Only him can be sacrificed as the Lamb of God. Only Jesus could pay fully. Only Jesus could pay the penalty of our sins. So John wants the people to know this. John wants the people to know that only Christ should be at the center of their lives even today. So let such truth, church, let this truth sink deep in our hearts. Let this truth be refreshed in our minds, because it's something that we know. Let this truth be rewritten on our own consciences as we begin this year. Our sin was placed upon Jesus Christ. Here's a big question. Now we are saved. We did behold the Lamb of God. The question is, why should we still then continue to behold. Because this message is also a message for today. Not for the people of the past or the people who have not come to Jesus. Why should we as Christians, washed by the precious blood of Jesus, why should we continue to behold this Lamb of God? Simply because the cross of Christ, which John points unto, has eternal effects. Does not only save us today, but it saves us tomorrow. When Jesus comes again, this cross of Christ, because of this cross of Christ, all those who believe shall receive a reward from God. Firstly, their bodies will be changed. They will have a glorious body. They will be taken to be with the Lord because they behold continuously this Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In other words, when we behold the Lamb, we don't only behold the Lamb in the beginning of the year. We behold this Lamb of God as we go through our lives one day at a time. Because it has eternal effects. It gives us an eternal relationship with God. Something that cannot be taken away from us by anything. This Lamb of God, because of His cross, He guides us each and every day, pointing us to what is right from what is wrong. So we behold the Lamb each and every day of our lives. So that one day we hear Him say, "Come, you are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." What beautiful words will that be? And I hope you all are longing to hear such words. "Come, you, my children, who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you." As of first importance, behold the Lamb. As of first importance, He's the Lamb of God. He's the one who stood for you on your behalf. But here's another point that I want to bring, the third point, which is kind of similar to what I was saying, but one little word has been added. John says, thirdly, He takes away, that's what the Lamb does, He takes away the sin, we already spoke about it, but He says the sin of the world. That is of first importance. He takes away the sin of the world. He is greater than the world. He takes the sin of the world. He is our primary need, in other words. Not just us now, but the world. Even those who think don't need Jesus. Jesus is every man's primary need. And that is why the whole world then, or that is why we should then teach the whole world to behold the Lamb of God. In other words, there is no one else available or provided for anyone out there to bring that person to God but Jesus Christ. That is our message. We should be taking this message this year once again to the multitudes. No one is provided. Nothing is provided outside Jesus that can bring man and God together but the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus is not just for us who are being saved. Jesus is for those who are not saved as well. Our message is to go to the corners of this township. Jesus is the Lamb of God. And that, the people need to take that as of first importance, just as we do also take that as of first importance. Unless everybody's going to run wild. Jesus takes away the sin of the world. None can atone for the sins of men but Jesus. No one can satisfy God's wrath but Jesus. No one can purchase redemption for men but Jesus. No one can ransom men from the fiery fires of hell but Jesus. No one can snatch one from the garbage of sin unto God's marvelous light but Jesus. He takes away the sin of the world. He purchases the captives from who has kept them, Satan and their own sin. Jesus purchases a people for God. That should be our message. So there is a message of evangelism, if you hear very well, in this message. Once we behold Jesus, once we realize He is the Lamb of God, once we know that He is blameless and we are to be blamed for everything, then we take the very same message. We say, oh, it's not only for the few of us. To say He takes away the sin of the world, as I have mentioned, it means that there is no hope for the world outside Jesus. The television can tell people there is hope for them somewhere else. You can lie to yourself as a person and tell yourself that there is hope for you. Maybe within yourself you must just find yourself. But there is no hope for men outside the Lord Jesus Christ. The whole world's hope is Jesus. Please notice. I want you to notice the verse. It says, He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Please notice, it is not our Lamb that we choose for ourselves as the old people did. And then we bring Him to God and say, God, will you accept this sacrifice for me? No, this is God's chosen Lamb, which is why He takes away the sin of the world. The Old Testament Lamb took away, as it were, sin for a particular person. You must bring your own sacrifice. Jesus is brought in by God as a complete sacrifice, not just for an individual person, but for the whole world. What does that mean? Each and every person then needs to come to Jesus for himself. The husband cannot believe unto salvation for the wife. And the wife cannot believe then unto salvation for the husband or the children. Each and every person needs to come to Jesus for himself. That is what the world needs to know. Because today we have people who are so happy that as long as my wife goes to church, it's okay. I've heard a lot of men. Church is for women. Then they think, church, that is the message we should say. No. Christ died for the sins of the world. Each and every one. Even those men who are hard-headed. Doesn't help to say, as long as my children go to church, because we experienced this year, people are just bringing their children for Sunday school. As long as they go to church. Church, that is not the message of the Bible. Jesus takes away the sin of the world. Each and every person must believe for himself. Do you believe? It takes away the sin of the world. But also, it's a message of hope and joy to us. I'm going to repeat that. It's a message of hope and joy for us as Christians but Gentiles. Meaning those who are non-Jewish. It takes away the sin of the world. This is John, a Jew, speaking to the world and say, Jesus takes away the sin of the world. So Jesus has not just come to die for the Jews, because salvation comes from the Jews and he's a Jew, but Jesus came to die for the Gentiles as well. That's a good message. That's a message for us that can give us joy. Jesus died for the world. Now that's why the Bible says, you Gentiles who are far off have been brought closer and we brought near to God by the blood of the cross. We need to rejoice. As we go out and we hear people say, this religion is for the Jews or this religion is for the white men. No, 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 no. Jesus takes away the sin of the world, which caused the people to say those things. He died for everyone who believe in him. That means the question is, do you believe? That is what we ask. Jesus, the Son of God. So he's so powerful. He's one man, yet he takes away the sin of the entire world. Listen to what the prophet Isaiah said. Listen to what Isaiah said before this time, plus minus 720 years before Jesus is born. Listen to Isaiah. We know these verses. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows, yet we did not esteem him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we were healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And God has laid upon him the iniquities of us all. It was God who laid upon him the iniquities of us all. He was oppressed, yet when he was afflicted, he opened not his mouth. As a lamb, here comes the word now, the lamb. As a lamb that is led to a slaughter, and as a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. This is the Lamb of God for the sin of the world. Jesus, our Savior. He is of first importance even this year for us and the whole world. So let us always remember this biblical truth, friend, that Christ died on the cross and his death is precious. It was his death that brought us together with God. His blood is sufficient. His blood is effective even today. Regardless how few we are or how other churches are full, but I'm telling you today, his blood is effective to save sinners even from the multitude that proclaims to be saved. Jesus is of first importance. His blood is enough to purify our sins. His blood is enough to purify the sins of every person in this world. That is what we need. That is who we need. That is what the world needs. He takes away the sin of the world. Please notice another thing as you look at the verse. John is not talking past tense. He's not saying he took away the sin of the world. Secondly, he's not talking future tense. He's not saying he will take away the sin of the world. Please notice. He takes away the sin of the world. John speaks of a present tense. The Bible, it reads in a present tense, in his verse. He takes away the sin of the world. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, today. If one believes today, if one casts his poor soul on his Savior's feet today, Christ takes away his sin today. Christ is the Lamb of God today as well, though he's a lion of the tribe of Judah. John is saying to the people, then, turn your focus to him today then. If he takes away the sin of the world today, turn your focus unto him today. Remind yourself as you begin the year that Jesus is of first importance. Do it today, in the first week of the year, in the first Sunday of the year. He takes away the sin of today. He is our Savior today. He is our rock and our strength today. He is our shelter today. He protects us today. He loves us when? Today. So we need to love him when? Today. We must save him when? Today. That is what John says. Don't look back. Don't look too far. Today. You turn your eyes upon him today. You lift up your spirit, your heart today unto him. Pray unto him today. Believe and trust upon him today. That is why the Bible says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to him and drink, not tomorrow, today. And the water that he will give unto those who believe today will quench their spiritual thirst today. Jesus is for when? It's for today. He is of first importance today. And tomorrow, you also say today. That is why it does not belong to the past tense, in a way. Every day is today. Do we get the church? Behold him today. He's the Lamb of God today. He takes away our sins today. The sins of the world today. He is of first importance in everything we do. So church, everyone should be reminded then, as we begin the year, Jesus did all these things, the cross, for us and for the world. So what are we going to do? We're going to cherish Christ, and we're going to teach the world to cherish Christ. We're going to teach our own children. We're going to continue to evangelize the people and teach them about Christ today, because he's the one who takes our sin today and our guilt of sin today. Let me close. As we begin this year, Let us behold Jesus' victory over man's enemy. And who is man's enemy? Satan and sin. Let us behold him for his victory. In other words, let us focus upon him because he did this good thing for us. We can forget about Satan. We can forget about our sin in a way. Because Christ died for our sin. So we behold him because he has done a great thing for us. Upon that cross, he died for us. Now we must behold his cross on a daily basis. So let us begin this year with great confidence. There can be so many things that would like to discourage us, perhaps, but we still need to begin the year with great confidence. I say, Barbaras told us that we come into this year with little bit of strength because we have rested. And I said, of course, we come like that, but we come with our sin. But now I'm closing by saying, Christ died for that sin so that we can continue even this year with great confidence, day by day. Great confidence. There is no sin that he didn't die for. Abanye ngale, some other people will say, it is not over until Jesus says over. I agree. Just for today, I agree. He has died for your sins. None of your sins he didn't die for. You just have to come and cast it upon him and behold him so that all goes well this year for you. So it is not your New Year's resolution that will help you to this year. Just as your New Year's resolution didn't help you last year, they were not going to help you even this year. But Christ, let him be your New Year's resolution. He is of first importance. Behold him. He is the Lamb of God. Let the Word of God challenge us each and every day of our life. Let the Word of God be that which moves us and directs us to the direction of God. Even this year. Let the Word of God help us in our own decisions. Decisions we make at home. Decisions we make in our own hearts and minds. And in that way, all is going to go well for us. Let nothing bring fear upon us as the year begins. Why? Because Christ died for us. Then who is there to condemn us? Let there be nothing that brings fear. He is the Lamb of God who set us free. We are free. And we are free indeed. He died on that cross. The Bible tells us that he crushed the enemy on that cross. So that the enemy will not crush us as we walk through this journey until that day, the day of the Lord. So church, as of first importance, look unto Jesus who takes away the sin of the world. Let our focus be redirected again unto the cross as we begin this year. Church, the new year changes nothing. Christ changes things in this new year through his gospel to us. Let that be as we pray to him. Amen. Let us pray. Our faithful Father, our God and our King, we are thankful for your message, for reminding us to behold this Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Indeed, Lord, it is not the first time we preach on this verse, but we are thankful that you have given us something fresh for this first week of the year, that we may be reminded of your Son who died for our sins, horrible sins that we know, things that other people don't even know, but above all the sin of being enemies of God, and reconciled us with you. As of first importance, we want to behold him. We want to cherish him. We want to dedicate our whole self unto him once again this year. We want to be reminded day by day that he is the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Not just our sin, but the sin even of those who have not come to believe. When they believe unto him, he is ready to forgive. Oh, precious Father, thank you for reconciling us to you through your Son. And thank you for the message that there is still hope for the world, but it is only in Jesus Christ. Send us once again, even this year, to the world, that we tell them of this great hope, that they may come to Jesus for their own sin. We pray Amen.